Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host of the podcast and our YouTube channel and everyday life, Devin.
I am the co-host of your everyday life.
Of my everyday life.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello. Hello. All right, Dev. Hit it.
As he drives. Hey, Pam. Remember when I said this car was death-proof? Well, that wasn't a lie. This car is 100% death-proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat. Slams his boot to the brake and sends Pam flying face first into the dashboard.
You really got to be sitting in my seat. I love that scene.
If you guys didn't catch on to it, that is from Death Proof.
Death Proof.
That is Kurt Russell as Stuntman Mike.
Stuntman Mike. Man, that is such a good movie. I rewatched it again recently. So good.
Oh, right?
So good. Like, the dialogue in Quentin Tarantino's movies is just so much fun. You know, it's so well written and so clever. You know, it's like more clever than anyone really talk. But, you know, it's just so good. That's what makes it fun. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I mean,
so
movies don't have to be reality. We don't want them totally to be real. No one really talks like that, even the most lame dialogue.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But that is, if you guys haven't seen it, that's a free recommendation. Death Proof. It was a double feature grindhouse thing. Him and Robert Rodriguez did it.
Yeah,
was it him? That's Rodriguez. Who. Anyway, he did Planet Terror, and they put it out as a double thing. I think it's like 10 years ago now. His was okay, but Death Proof. I love great real car chases, but it's a. Well, it's not a spoiler. Kurt Russell is—he's a stuntman, basically an old retired stuntman who like murders women in like these staged car accident things.
Right. Yeah.
But he just runs into him, rams him. He's got his death-proof stunt car, and obviously, the girls don't. So,
Stuntman Mike.
It's a great like, horror, you know, serial killer. Halloween movie for you guys if you're looking for something a little different.
Yeah.
There won't be any pumpkins or fall colors in it, but
yeah, if you're looking for something that's a good, like, I don't know, twist, thriller. I don't know. I mean, it's just so well done. It's so fun and like there's fun parts and like, you know, I don't know, like sexy parts and good dialogue
sexy
and
times.
Good chase scenes and Like the you know, I mean, the whole chase scene and all the stunt stuff that they're doing together is so much fun. Oh.
Yeah, the car chase scene is long. It's like a 20-minute, 25-minute thing towards the end. It's so good. And
what's her name? Zoe Salad? I can't remember.
Yeah, she's Uma Thurman's stunt woman for Kill Bill.
Oh, right, yeah.
Zoe Bell,
right.
And she's in this, so they just used her as a star, but also she could do her stunts and the camera could be right on her. So she's sliding around on the hood of the car. And
right, yeah. That's so awesome. I love the part when she goes flying off and then you're like, and she like hops up like whoop from the bushes like, I'm okay. She like jumps. Right. She like comes right back over.
Yeah, great.
Man, that's so good. Yeah. And I heard the extras and stuff in that movie are so good.
Oh, yeah. Just the whole, them going through all the stuff they did for the car chase and really having car chases and really putting cars on the line. That stuff is, that's so much better than so many movies. And you can always criticize him for, he just takes what he likes and puts them into his movies, right? So there's little bits and bobs, all these old movies you might not know. But he makes such a great film that it almost doesn't matter. I mean, everyone's doing that at least subconsciously, and he's doing it and letting people know, like, "Ooh, I wanted this bit of music from this movie. I wanted this little type of scene from this movie." But he does it so well. It's like someone taking, it's like a person who goes to like Japan and studies all about sushi under a guy for like 10 years, and then comes back and can make a really good roll.
Right. Yeah.
Like
exactly.
You don't. Yeah, he didn't come up with it. But he does an awesome sushi roll, so what does it matter?
Right, exactly. He's using his own ingredients, you know, and then just putting combinations of things that already work well, but doing it in a way with new ingredients or like, you know, fresh ingredients, I guess you should say. You know, different actors, different scenes, different locations, but these like pulling from, you know, different historical, from different movies and things and then putting them in. Yeah, I mean, I think all artists do that, you know. Everyone is pulling from somewhere. Art is, almost everything's already been done, you know. So if you're doing something, it's already been done. You're just doing it in a new way.
So, yeah, you know, right, yeah.
For movies.
To a degree, yeah.
And there's only so much you can do with a scene or with people or, you know, I mean, obviously as technology gets better and better, you can do different things. But, you know, setting up shots and lighting and things.
And it's not even
done one way or another.
It's not even comparable to like musicians necessarily. I mean, you can cover a song, but it's not really the same. Where you can like sample a beat or a horn section, but that is taking basically directly from something. You can't sample a movie scene. You can't take a movie scene and slide it into yours and be like, "Oh, at the end of my movie, I just took the car case chase scene from Death Proof."
Right.
And I use it because that's a dope ass scene. Like, I'm just gonna use that shit. Yeah. It's like no, it's not yours. You didn't come up with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? You might copy a scene, but he's also copying, like you said, he's doing it in a way that's really obvious. He's showing everybody, like, look how cool this scene is in my movie. The same scene from this other movie. You know, like, and you know that he's a film buff, so he knows all that stuff, and you know, that's what he loves. He just wants to highlight it and do it in his own way,
right? And it's always different. It may look similar, but it's so well done, and you can hate on him all day, but man, his movies are a lot of fun. But anyway,
yeah.
So I was thinking we could talk more about Maker Camp. No, I'm kidding.
Let's do it again.
People are like, oh, that's enough.
What are you drinking, Dev?
I'm drinking a weird Breckenridge Brewery. You ever do that? It's like it's the two bees facing each other, and they got like the thunderbolts.
Maybe it sounds familiar.
They've got some decent stuff.
Oh yeah, Breckenridge. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of their best. I don't know. They're a little odd, but it's something called Mountain Beach. It's like a
Mountain Beach. Nice.
It's some type of sour.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're not bad.
I am drinking, let's see. I'm drinking a Founders Centennial IPA. So they do like the all-day IPA. This is their Centennial, which is really good. So that's one. And the other beer that I have that I will be drinking is an Allagash White.
There you go.
Belgian style wheat beer. So a little bit different stuff today.
Yeah, all the ones that say like all day IPA, or they'll say like all day, or they'll say like right. tailgate, or they'll say, right. you know, it's going to be 4%. And they're going to give right, you like exactly. at least 15. And that's fine for if you are actually doing what they're saying.
Right.
But if I sit down at night and I can only have two beers, I don't want an all day 4%. Well, I mean, yeah, it's about it the is taste what it
at
is.
That point. I mean, two beers is not going to do anything for you or I.
Well, we so can get, yeah, I can get a little bit taste. Of some. Definitely not if it's an all-day IPA.
Well, then, you're drinking for the wrong reason. Or are you? Like, why not just drink water if you're not...
You know, yeah, right.
I like to taste all-day IPA, so I do get that often.
I also but, like the taste, but...
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So, how are things around the house, Dev? You're in your new place... Been in there for a couple weeks now.
Whew, yeah, it's a lot. Yep. And I don't know if we talked about it, but we moved our parents out of here, or by we I mean everyone but Dustin moved our parents out of here.
You're welcome.
No, but we got them out and got them finally because they were in limbo in the middle.
Right.
Because they were, go ahead.
So you guys bought the house, they bought a new place, but there were tenants living in the new place until the 15th of October or something like that, right? But you guys moved in the 1st of October, so they had 2 weeks where that was that limbo. Now, fortunately, they have a bunch of outbuildings, so we were able to help them move a bunch of stuff out of the house into the outbuildings and kind of into storagey type thing. And then you and Caitlin moved in. And then helped move them then out into their new place.
Yeah.
In the middle of the month. Right.
And it's been like an extra load each day. Right. Dad will swing by. I'm going to pick up some of these. I'm going to pick up some of that. I mean, he definitely keeps a lot of... He's always one of those guys who's searching for free stuff on Craigslist. So
right.
He'll go up and... I mean, I've been with him many times knocking down his old shed or barn or...
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's a lot of good free stuff that people try to throw away. It's lumber and stuff, you know, that type of stuff. But
right.
But there's a lot of it. There's so much. It's many, many loads and loads getting it out of here. And,
right.
And I mean, I'll keep some, but yeah. You know, a lot of it's you know, it's his. It's his and take it. And but there's a right. lot. So
yeah,
he's got to find spots for it all.
Yeah, I just stopped by the other day. So I went up on Sunday to see their place and stopped by your place and picked up their canoe and took that up. So that's gone now.
I did see that. There's a white dead grass canoe shaped stamp in my yard.
Well, that wouldn't have been there all that long.
Oh, it was like a couple of the things. It did its...
It was there long enough.
Yeah.
Did the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our parents' new place is right on a river, maybe about 100 feet or so across. Really, really slow moving, which is actually kind of cool.
So great, they have, yeah, great for kayaking and
yeah, you can fishing go up or downstream, super easy, no problem. You know, the current is moving like what a foot every like maybe an inch a second, right? So it's like yeah. If you imagine what that is, you know, it's moving so slow. So
yeah,
it's really slow. Yeah, really nice. It has quite a high bank, maybe 8 feet or so up, and then it goes down, and then it's kind of shallow, but maybe 3 or 4 feet in the middle, maybe up to 5 or so at some point, but, you know, if the water comes up or down, but it's pretty low. But really good for fishing. You know, my dad is a super avid fisherman, so he loves to fish, and this is, now he's got property right on the water. He's super pumped about it. Nice little fire pit there. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, no, really good. It's a great spot. So yeah, so we finally cleared out the one big quote unquote temperature controlled shed, which it is, but there's an AC unit and there's a small heater to keep things kinda in the middle somewhere. You just don't want those extreme temperatures on the either side. which it does, and it's all well insulated, and he built a cedar closet in it too. But as I walked in, I was like, I had a spark of an idea, like, oh, I can put the projector in here during the winter and throw the screen up on the far side.
Right.
So that's what I did. I put the screen up and put the projector on the shelf behind.
Nice.
It's still in its projector case and everything. It works great. And
nice.
It's there right now, and I actually went and found a little a Best Buy sale and open box. And got a really good deal on, like, a sound bar and two, like, reverse speakers, too.
Nice.
So, man, it bumps in there now.
Nice. You're like theater, a little theater.
Oh, yeah.
Temperature-controlled theater room.
Theater
shed. AC in the summer. Like, out there great. Watching movies is sweet. And can you get the screen, like, all the ways that fit most of the whole wall?
Yeah. Well, there's the temperature gauge kind of blocking it, the control panel.
Okay.
So yeah. I took it from there all the way over, which is probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 feet. Right. And so the screen we have goes basically from the ceiling to the floor and almost all the way across, except for like one section. Okay. It's not big enough.
Oh, right on.
So I made everything tight, and the corner just kind of hangs down, but it's all really tight in the middle, so it projects nice. Fine.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's good. I put a carpet down, or not a carpet, you know, just a little rug, I should say.
Yeah, right.
And some, just, yeah, I think that's what we'll have that for. And all those shelves behind it can still be used for stuff.
Yeah, right. On.
I'll just maybe keep that middle area open and, you know, come over, watch whatever, watch games and movies. And
nice.
We can have a movie area for the winter, and when it's summer again, we'll take it outside and take it to places and watch movies outside.
Sweet. Right on, man. Cool. Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm glad you're customizing all your little outbuildings you got over there.
Yeah. We also, do it before we fill them up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We try to put something in there that has like a thing, like, oh, well, we can't put it in front of the screen. Like you. So hopefully we start that way and we'll see how it goes. But there is a leak coming down on the left side right next to the door.
Oh, man.
So that has to be fixed. I have actually a friend of ours, Guy Sr., is going to come over and look at it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he's a roofer, and I'll ask him if there's any a cheap fix. I think it's the flashing where the two roofs connect. It was never bent up. It was kind of laid flat.
Right, yeah.
So it was laid flat, and then it was filled with, I think it's some type of foam, or I don't think it's silicone, but that has kind of rotted away. So I think it's just blowing up in there and coming down, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, so the sheds, there was the initial shed that was built, which is like a 10 by 20, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a kind of lean-to that was built on the side of that. Maybe the same width, same depth. And then eventually on the side of that was built the shed that was for my mom, which is the temperature controlled shed. So like each of these things has like a step down roof that goes, you know, from one to the next. So they all have like flashing and it's all, roofing shingles and stuff on them. But yeah, it's got that like there's that drop off from the middle roof down to the bottom roof of the temperature controlled shed. So I guess it's just like that kind of piecemeal fitting things together. You just got to like re put in the fascia board and whatever, and, you know, recut it and re try to get it like something, maybe, you know, hanging over further or something. But like you said, if Guy Sr. is going to come and look at it, I'm sure he'll have something to do for you.
Yeah. He's been roofing forever, so he'll know.
Right.
And, you know, nice. I'll do whatever it takes to fix it other than putting a new roof on it. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Right, exactly. And do you guys have a lawnmower yet?
No.
No lawnmower, okay.
No lawnmower.
Fortunately, you got it right in the right time of year where you don't need a lawnmower.
I need, like, one more mow, though.
Ah.
It's getting a little long. I might take Dad's, but I I'm hoping there'll be a sale soon. You would think at the end of the year they'd start having some sales, and I need one anyway. So if I could pick one up in the next week or two,
right, a decent one for a good
price, or find maybe a decent used one. I don't know, but
right,
yeah,
I gotta get a mower. I was when I was up at mom and dad's, I was like, he said, yeah, Devin needs a mower. He's gonna have to, you know, figure it out. And I was like, it seems short. He's like, really? I was just there. It was like, seemed like it was getting a little long. I was like, well, I didn't notice it. So I drove around back and got the canoe. I didn't notice it. So
it's not crazy, but I think it needs one last go.
And run more. Yeah. How's the inside coming? Anything, you guys doing anything fun with the inside of the house yet? Just living right now.
Yeah. Just got most of the stuff, where it should be.
Okay.
But we're holding off on putting things on the walls, 'cause we're going to start painting soon. So, all
right.
Caitlin's picked out some colors and they seem decent, so we'll go ahead with that, and that'll be the thing. I think we're just gonna do one room at a time.
Nice.
Then hang stuff up, finish the room, and then move on to the next, finish the room.
So I know you had plans for the living room and the kitchenette on the master bedroom side of the house. Are you guys planning on doing stuff like that before you finish that room, or just paint stuff now and then wait until you can kind of do it?
Oh, on the new side?
Yeah.
No, we'll that'll probably be sometime next year.
Okay.
Because we want to make this room into two, so that we're just gonna hold off on.
Right on.
Especially right now, it's like our holding area with all the extra stuff.
Oh yeah.
That we don't know where to put, you know.
Right, yeah. How's the attic? Did you put stuff up in the attic, fill that up yet?
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff in the attic. It's not filled, though, so there's a lot of room there. All
right.
And the temperature shed. There's all those shelving stuff. We can put stuff in there. I do need to move all the stuff off the one porch into the original shed.
Right.
But there's still a lot of stuff in there, too.
I guess Dad, is that his stuff all still there, I'm assuming?
No, most of it's gone. But
that's good.
But there's 5% of his stuff still there, which is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a couple trucks, like a truckload or two worth of stuff.
Right, yeah. So you said you would move the stuff off of the porch into there. So is that just going to be another holding space for now?
What, into the shed?
Into, the first shed.
Well, most of that stuff.
The tool shop.
Yeah, most of that stuff will be...
Oh yeah, it's stuff that would live in there.
Yeah, I'll keep the one side open so we can actually put a workshop ish area there.
Right along the bench on the right.
Yeah,
side.
And set that stuff up. But
Did Dad take all the shelves and things that were on the left as well?
Yeah, he took those. So I got I got the big shelf we built for the apartment, so that go there probably, and I'll probably just buy a couple metal shelves and stick those bad boys up there.
Yeah, I have the ones like the modular metal shelves that are pretty heavy duty. I have two of them here in my studio that I'm in at the house. I can't remember how much they were, but I don't think they were all that expensive, but they're really strong shelves. Mm. You know, like 18 inches deep and I think 3 feet wide. So they're pretty nice for like heavy duty, but also they look decent and they're not like not too industrial. So, but you know, if it's a shop, it can be whatever you want. You could also just build a bunch of stuff over there as well on that side if you needed like permanent shelves. But
right,
cool.
Yeah, we'll see. What have you been up to?
I have. Let's see. So last week and this week. I had our last sailboat race of the season was on Saturday. So that's what we call women at the helm, which is all women drivers of the boat. So all women steering the boats, and then, you know, all the different boats, as long as they have a woman on the helm, on the steering, then, it's a race. And that was fun. I think we got fourth. We there was one boat that passed at the very last second. They like beat us by a couple boat lengths, and it was just, but it was like the worst wind day. You know, I think like the fastest we went all day was maybe 2 knots, like 2.3 or something. Most of it was just less than a knot and barely moving. Sails just like laying. Ugh. So
That's the worst.
The whole time, too. It wasn't even like it picked up. Yeah, you know, like I said, it picked up at one point where we were going like two, maybe a little over two. We were, felt like we were screaming, you know, like, we're like, oh, we got wind. This is great. But yeah, so it was a really slow race. But fortunately, it was a beautiful day. It was nice to get out one last time. And we had our friend Mal. Mallory was on the helm, and this is her second year now. First year we got third. This year we got fourth, so we're going downhill. So maybe I have to get a new helmswoman next year. Just kidding, Mal. but yeah, it was great. It was good to get out one last time, and we had a little party afterward. It was really nice. So that was on Saturday, and then on Sunday, on Saturday, then on Saturday night, we went down to Patterson Park in Baltimore City and went to their Lantern Festival, which is really cool. So,
Oh, yeah, I saw some of those pictures. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they have, so it's this big festival down in the city where they do, like, a huge parade with everyone making paper lanterns and stuff, and lots of different schools participate, and people can dress up, so everyone's in costume, and there's lots of food trucks, and so that was fun. We met down there, and I got to do that on that day. And then yeah, it was just like hung out, went up to mom and dad's on Sunday to see their place, which was really cool. And then this week I've been working on restoring a pair of axes, which are going to someone special, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give it away on the podcast. But they have a special home they're going to. And then,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. I know that they're listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then today and yesterday I've been working on, because I got the both axe heads like cleaned and wire wheeled, re-oiled, sharpened. I had to do quite a lot of, or I had to reprofile the bit of the single bit, like the Jersey single bit axe. They're both Collins axes. It had a lot of, like the toe had been ground back pretty good. So I had to kind of bring the heel, the bottom of the blade back some, and that kind of took it back into a wider spot. So I had to like reprofile, or I had to regrind the edges pretty good. So I did that, got everything shaped and reground. And I guess shaped down to like, or, you know, ground down to 160 grit. So it's there, it's to an edge. I'll just have to clean it up, you know, with a 220 and then the Scotch-Brite belts and then put a final edge on it, but they're ready to go. And I ordered some handles from House Handle. If you guys are looking for really, pretty, almost always really decent, almost always better than hardware store handles. The company that I like to order handles from is called House, and they're also almost always consistently cheaper than hardware store handles. At least they have been more recently. $10, $11 for a single bit or double bit handle. They're really inexpensive. You can pay a little bit more, 50 cents extra, so that they don't put varnish on it, which I prefer because I'm just going to scrape it off anyway. So I pay the 50 cents. You can also pay like an extra buck to have them hand select it. So then they'll like select, they'll pull out of the bins and they'll select the good ones for you. So you pay like an extra $2 to be hand selected, which I don't do because I'm not that worried about it. But I've had really good luck with them. So if you're looking again for a good place to buy handles, and you know, you're like, you like decent handles, but you don't want to pay premium prices, then House is a really awesome handle company. So House Handles. There you go. There's a free recommendation. So yeah, go ahead.
$1. I feel like you'd do it.
Do what? Yeah.
$1.
It's like $1 or $2 or something. I don't know. But I mean, I haven't gotten a bad one yet, and I don't put hand selected. So they seem, they're always really good. They seem really pretty consistent. The only inconsistency is like the shape is a little off. Like I could get three of the same type of handle, like a single bit 30-inch handle, and one will have like a nice big fat palm swell, and the next one will have kind of a small one, you know, and the shapes are a little bit off, but everything, but all the, like the size of the actual eye is really good. The grain has always been really good. So I've been really happy with them. Yeah. So, and I order a bunch anyway. So, you know, I ordered them, so I'm waiting for them to come in. That should be in the next couple of days or so, and then those will get hung and sent out to their new home. And then other than that, yesterday and today I've been working on the knife for Nicole, my wife, a knife that she actually, we kind of designed together, and we ordered some stuff a while back, specific
that one,
wood. Yeah, we got some stabilized teal, stabilized maple burl, and then some silver birch from, you know, both those things came from Eastern Europe, and took a while to get here, but they've been here for a while now, and you know, now it's kind of things are slowing down a little bit, so I'm able to do a few more things. So I've been working on that, got the everything drilled out and fit up, the bolster and fit up, so it's a matter of time now.
And we have to start shooting again.
Yes.
We've had a long delay.
Well, and you know, also, we shot for Maker Camp, so we're that video would come out too. So.
Oh, and speaking of, that will I will say it publicly, it will be done by the next podcast. I'll give myself a deadline because I've been kind of stuck by indecision.
Right.
By going like, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I just kind of stop, you know. And I do a little bit more, and I go, do I want to do it this way? I don't know. And I just stop. So I just need to, I'll say here so you can shame me, Dustin, next week if I don't have it done. But I'll have it done by next podcast, and I'll just do it, and it'll be what it is.
Yeah.
And then we can finish up the toy box video, too. That should only have a day or two left of shooting, and get moving on to some bows and axes and knives again.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. I have a, kind of a pre-shaped Osage bow. It's like kind of cut down to size, kind of like just really generally it's really blocky right now. I'm thinking maybe we could do that as a video with like doing a recurve tip, you know, so then heat and do like some recurve tips and get like a cool, you know, kind of some heat bending and stuff, focus the video on that, but then still tiller it all the way out. And, you know, but just starting with kind of a chunky thing instead of starting from a, you know, just a split out limb and have to do all the chasing the growth ring and all that's all been done. So it's already like there for me, but so we can focus on, you know, what Osage is really awesome for, which is be able to heat and bend without, you know, a ton of, you know, supplies to do that. It just loves to bend. So
cool. It'd
be kind of cool to do another bow with that.
Yeah.
I got to make one for Corinne and Nicole. I got to make them both new bows. So we'll see. Matching set of bows. But yeah. So yeah, we can get on that and got Bowie knives to make and other things to make and axes to restore. I have a really nice Kelly Perfect axe, Jersey axe that is just asking to be restored and rehung. So I think that should be a good video. Got a cool ball peen hammer I'd like to do a hammer restoration on.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we have a bunch of people who I have talked to and who are interested in joining us on the podcast. So, you know, we can definitely get some more people on. So that'll be fun too.
Yeah. All right. So happy Halloween, everyone, if you're listening.
Yes.
This comes out Friday. Maybe you're listening to it on Halloween itself.
Yeah. So, before we get into, well, as we're getting into Halloween stuff, I want to ask you about like your favorite Halloween costumes, what it's like to like make stuff for Halloween as a maker, how much do you put into it for, you know, a costume or something you're going to wear for one time, because I love Halloween. I love putting a lot of time in my costumes. but before we get into that, I have a Halloween trivia for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is 20 questions, which seems like it's kind of a lot, but that's okay. It's just fun. and this is multiple choice, so I'll give you some multiple choice as we go.
Are you going to keep track of score?
Sure, I can do that. Okay, so let's see. Trivia score. And let me see. Beer's still good. Still working on number one. Okay. All right, here we go. Number one. What is placed on a window ledge or hung by the door to protect the home from the evil Halloween spirits? Is it A, a turnip, B, a pumpkin, or C, a Swede?
Like from someone from Sweden?
That's what it says. A Swede, S-W-E-D.
I think if you hang a Swede, I think that brings in evil spirits.
Hey, there's the Swedes.
So what was the first one?
A, a turnip, B, a pumpkin, or C, a Swede?
I say A, turnip.
A, a turnip. The answer is B, a pumpkin.
What?
Yeah. Yep.
So. Not the jumbos I bought at Home Depot the other day. Oh, my gosh. They're huge.
Hang it in your window.
Like, yeah, bring down the whole thing. Shade out the whole
window. Better have good window sills.
Okay, all right.
All right, number two. Which British island is the home of the giant ghost dog, Moody Doo? Is it A, the Isle of Man, B, the Isle of Wight, or C, the Isle of Skye?
I'll do the Island of Man.
Isle of Man is correct. Yes, yes. Good job. A is the Isle of Man. Yeah, Moody Doo is M-O-D-D-Y-D-H-U. I haven't heard of that before, but so apparently giant ghost dog.
Isle of Wight is, I think they have the race, the MotoGP race, I think.
Right.
So I thought it couldn't be known for two things, could it?
That's pretty good. Those are some cool island names. The Isle of Man, Isle of Wight.
Or maybe it is Man. No, you know what? Maybe Man is the race and Wight, okay. There was a festival.
Oh, yeah, the Isle of Wight. Yeah, that's a big music festival, right?
Yeah.
Right on. All right, number three. On which night of the week do witches traditionally hold their meetings? Is it A, on Wednesday, B, on Friday, or C, on Saturday? What day of the week do witches traditionally hold their meetings?
Saturday.
Saturday is incorrect. It is Friday. All right.
Why Friday?
I don't know. There's nothing here other than the answers.
I got a
plan. Little fun trivia. Right,
come on.
Here.
Yeah, right. You're like, I don't know. Next.
And that's it.
That's weird.
We got to get through 20. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know why.
They have to plan for a whole spooky weekend, so they got to make sure their shit's together.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Friday night, let's go. Meetings, let's. Yeah. We got Saturday and Sunday to get crazy. So. All right. Actually, I have a little bonus. Wait, let me see. Hold on. Let me see. I have a bonus. I guess it's. I'll just bonus trivia on top of that. The fear of Halloween is known as Samhain phobia or Samhain phobia, depending on how you pronounce it.
Oh yeah.
And the word Samhain, which is spelled S A I M H A I N, like Sam Hain, but Samhain, is the Wiccan word for Halloween. So,
oh yeah.
So there's a little bit of trivia. If you ever asked what is the word for being afraid of Halloween, it's called Samhain phobia.
Samhain phobia.
Yeah. All right. Number four. If armed with a silver bullet, which mythical creature must you be expecting to meet? A, a vampire. B, the boogeyman. Or C, a werewolf.
The boogeyman.
So, silver bullet.
Yeah, I guess it's werewolf. Right?
It is a werewolf. Yes.
I almost jumped to say vampire right away, but
you're like,
werewolf. All right.
Yeah, because I think like vampires also are, you know, deterred by silver, you know, crosses and things. But
right.
Yeah, werewolf is the silver bullet. It's the Coors Light silver bullet.
Hey, they hate it.
They know.
Make sure those mountains are blue.
All right. According to Bram Stoker, in Bam. Which
that's a whole Stroker. Different.
That's
a different type of movie.
Bram Stoker's
Draculanus.
All right. According to Bram Stoker, in which English town did Count Dracula arrive by ship, packed in a coffin, filled with native Transylvanian earth? Is it A, Whitby, B, Fleetwood, or C, Dover? If you have read Bram Stoker's Dracula or if you've seen the movie, it should be in that.
What was the first one? Whitby?
Whitby, W-H-I-T-B-Y,
oh, B, Whitby.
Fleetwood, or C, Dover?
Do Whitby.
Whitby is correct.
Yeah.
Hey, Whitby. That's actually one I knew. I guess I must have, like, I've never read the book, or I've, like, tried to listen to it or read it a couple times, but I've never gotten through it. But I have seen the movie, and for some reason that stuck in my mind. So I was like, oh, yeah, Whitby.
What?
Whitby. All right, number six. In which part of the world did voodoo magic originate? Is it A, the Caribbean, B, West Africa, or C, South America?
Caribbean?
Voodoo magic originated in B, West Africa.
Yeah. Really?
Yep. I guess. I know, yeah. You think voodoo is more like, I guess, I think of it voodoo as like New Orleans and stuff, you know, so I'm thinking like.
Yeah, so like Caribbean islands, like, yeah. Haiti and But I guess maybe it came down from Africa, down into there and around.
Right, exactly. I definitely attribute voodoo with, like, the black Louisiana culture. You know, that's that in my mind, so it makes sense. It's West Africa.
Right.
All right, number 7. In which modern-day country would you find Transylvania? Is it Bulgaria, B, Hungary, or C, Romania?
Well, Romania sounds right, but maybe Bulgaria? I'll just go Romania right off the bat.
All right. Romania is correct.
Yeah.
I was ready to give you a half point. I was like, wait for it. You went back to it, though. So, yeah. Romania. All right.
Okay.
So that's where Transylvania is currently. All right. Number 8. How many films were there in the Poltergeist series?
Oh, jeez.
Was it 2, 3, or 4?
I'll say 4.
You will say 4, and you will be wrong. It is 3.
I knew there was 2, and I felt like there were more, so I figured just go for the ridiculous number, because that's kind of how movies are. You know, they just make a million of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. I was thinking the same thing, too. I was like, I'd probably say 4. But yeah, and I originally thought, like, maybe I'd do scary movies or something, or horror flicks at trivia for you, but I know that you're not, I mean, you like movies, but you're not a huge horror film guy, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And I was like, nah, and then I saw this, and I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like, I like them, I don't...
Yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, like, you like The Shining, and there are different ones that are, like, traditionally good, you know, horror movies, but yeah. All right, okay. Where are we? Number 9. A copy of which execution device, called the Death Row Shocker, was installed at Blackpool Pleasure Beach? Is it A, a guillotine, B, a gas chamber, or C, the electric chair?
A guillotine. No. Wait, read it one more time.
A copy of which execution device, called the Death Row Shocker, was installed at Blackpool Pleasure Beach?
Oh, then it's got to be the electric chair.
That's right. It is the electric chair.
Okay.
All right. I was going to say. I was like, really? Guillotine?
Well, I had a joke in my mind about Bram Stoker's electric shocker, but...
You're so getting thrown off by the lewd jokes.
Yeah, I was putting that in my head.
You're like, I'm trying to make this an exciting show here. Got 20 questions of Halloween trivia. All right, number 10. Pillywinks were an instrument of torture that squeezed which part of the body until they were eventually crushed?
Oh, testicles.
A, fingers, B, toes, or C, ears? Pillywinks, Pilliwinks.
Say toes.
It is A, fingers. Pillywinks, A, fingers. All right, so as of 10 questions, you have 5 correct answers. So you're 50% right now.
I'm failing.
Not bad. That's all right. Yeah. All right, here we go. Number 11. The Final Conflict was the last film of the series. What was the first? So The Final Conflict was the last film of this series. What was the first? Is it A, Carrie, B, The Omen, or C, The Shining?
The Omen.
The Omen is correct. Good job. All right.
So I didn't think there was really. Is there more than one Carrie?
I don't think so. I know. I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, I know there's not like there's a sequel to The Shining.
And was was The Omen Stephen King? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That's what I was thinking, because you got 2 Stephen King novels,
right? And then The Shining,
one in the middle, and I just have a vague idea of The Omen having a bunch of movies, you know.
Oh, right, yeah. Did you see the new Shining, like the one that came out in the 90s? I think we all saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we saw the
what was that guy's name? The miniseries or whatever.
The miniseries on TV. That's the first one I ever saw. That's all I knew.
Wasn't that the guy from, like, what was that show, like, The Pilots or whatever? Wasn't that, like, I'm trying to think that guy's name. I don't know, like, the 90s actor.
Yeah. Yeah, that was scary as a kid, for sure.
Yeah, that was cool. That was good. All right, number 12. Which film company produced the Dracula and Frankenstein films starring Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee? Is it A, Lucasfilms, B, Handmade Films, or C, Hammer?
I'll say Hammer.
It is Hammer. Good job.
All right. Lucasfilms.
Lucas, come on. What is this, amateur hour? So Handmade Films, you said that was no right away. Did you just not recognize it, or do you know that?
I didn't really recognize it, so I took a bold guess just to say no on that one.
No. I was like, dang, he really knows. He knows his production companies.
He just had to pretend.
You're like, duh, jeez.
And if I didn't know the last one, I would just go, whatever.
No.
But if you get it, that's all wrong.
And it says C. The answer is C. Hammer, House of Horrors. So maybe that was like specifically a
that one did sound company. Familiar. I still don't know exactly.
Gotcha.
But that one sounded familiar.
Yeah. All right. Number 13. Which film character was played by Lon Chaney in 1925? Was it A, the Phantom of the Opera, B, Baron Frankenstein, or C, Count Dracula? So which film character was played by Lon Chaney in the 1925? Chaney. Phantom of the Opera, Frankenstein, or Dracula?
Let's do Phantom.
Phantom of the Opera is correct.
Yeah.
And you're on a roll. 3 for 3 in the last 10.
I might get a C on this test.
As of right now, you have 8. So you'll get a 40% if you don't get any more right.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. All right, number 14, Michael Myers is the central character of which film series? Is it A, Friday the 13th, B, Halloween, or C, Scream?
Isn't it Halloween?
It is Halloween.
Oh, man, that one. Yeah.
That's an easy one. That's what it seems like.
It's so easy that you almost kind of forget.
Yeah, it'd be different if it was like, well, I was going to say Halloween or Jason, but like obviously Jason is Jason. Michael Myers, but yeah. Or like you said, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something, you know what I mean? Like, start to get on. But there's been, I mean, so many Halloween movies. You know, there's a new one coming out right
now.
Yeah,
I've only seen them like once.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know,
Yeah, you can only do so much. So.
Yeah.
All right. Number 15, from which, yes. All right. From which shrub is a supposed remedy for bruising extracted? Wait, what? Mm. From which shrub is a supposed remedy for bruising extracted? Okay, there we go. So we're looking for a shrub that gives you a remedy for bruising. Is it A, foxglove, B, deadly nightshade, or C, witch hazel?
Witch hazel.
Witch hazel is correct. You are on a roll.
It just sounds the spookiest.
I know, yeah. It's like Halloween quiz, witch hazel. They said like deadly nightshade. Because like nightshade, it's just called nightshade. I know, like trying to throw you off. Yeah. All right, number 16. What name is given to a snack of prunes wrapped in bacon? Weird. Is it called Devils on Piggyback? B, Devils on Horseback, or C, Devils on Hog's Back? So this is prunes wrapped in bacon. Devils on Piggyback, Horseback, or Hog's Back?
Hog's Back.
Hog's Back is incorrect. It is Devils on Horseback.
Dang.
That's funny. Devils on Piggyback.
I guess
Piggyback.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, well, you're like coming up with a name, I guess.
I was thinking bacon, though. Maybe the...
Yeah, right. Hog's Back. Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe the other thing is the...
Piggyback. Yeah. All right. Oh, I don't know. That's funny. Prunes wrapped in bacon.
Ugh.
I guess it could make prunes better.
I mean, wrapping anything in bacon helps.
I know, right? Yeah. You're like, yeah, these prunes, these are bad. Let's wrap them in bacon.
Bacon wrapped around a devil's
on horseback. Devil's prune. Makes the devil's prune better. Mm-hmm. All right, number 17. According to voodoo religion, how many souls does each person have? Whoa. Is it 2, 3, or 7?
That's quite a jump.
How many souls does each person have according to voodoo religion?
7.
7 is incorrect. It is 2. And as I was thinking about it, like, I saw the answer, but then when I was thinking about it, I was like, I wonder if that makes sense for, you know, like when people do get in, go into like a voodoo trance, you know, that's like their second soul or something. I don't know.
Mm. I was thinking that maybe the jump to seven, not only because it was a big jump, it was like a dramatic choice, or
yeah,
like I thought maybe like the whole Harry Potter thing,
mm-hmm.
where like Voldemort splits his soul into one to seven. So I thought maybe J.K. could have got that from there, maybe like some type of inspiration. But well.
Yep. All right, number 18, the ghost of which wife of Henry VIII has been seen many times gliding through the Tower of London, where she was beheaded in 1536.
Marie Antoinette? No, no.
Is it Jane Seymour, B, Catherine of Aragon, or C, Anne Boleyn?
Anne Boleyn, that's who it is.
Anne Boleyn is correct.
Yeah, I was there.
Hey, how are you? Tower of London?
Yeah, that's cool. I went first day on my honeymoon. We went and visited.
Nice. Did you actually go inside, or do you just like?
Yeah, yeah. Went inside the tower and all the surrounding buildings and stuff. It was really cool. Right.
I did when I went over to visit Nicole. First semester of our junior year, she did a semester abroad in London. I went over to visit her, and we went walked up and down the Thames and walked across the Tower of London Bridge, and then we're outside. We didn't actually go into the Tower of London, or you know, but kind of walked by and looked at it. I was like, that's cool.
It was cool because you had the what do you call them, the beef eaters,
right? Yeah,
the guy in the red jacket. Yeah, and they gave tours, so I just followed one of those guys around and got the full tour. It was great. And then inside the Tower of London, they had all the crown jewels.
You know what? I did see the crown jewels. I wonder. Maybe I don't remember.
That's where they keep them.
I feel like maybe I saw saw some crown jewels in a show somewhere, but maybe it was in London. Maybe I did go in.
And that's where they have all the crown jewels, and then they have actually a bunch of just normal armor and weapons and stuff. It was actually really one of the things that sticks out in that whole trip. It was really cool.
Right on.
I was also slightly delirious because we were super, super jet lagged. So it was like we were running on no sleep.
Right.
And we had like flown overnight, barely slept, got in, got a cab, got into our hotel, got from the hotel, went straight down, took the tube, got to Tower London. It was just like, oh my God. Like,
oh man.
So there, I was just kind of like weird, you know, like crazy, sleepy, buzzy, like, what's going on? But it was really cool.
Nice. Right on.
But we had to do it. I wasn't just going to sleep.
Right. Yeah, you got that first day. You have to just do it. Yeah, right.
We're in London. Let's go. Yeah. We only had 3 days in each place, so it was like,
right,
let's go.
And I mean, you know, obviously, I don't have a ton of experience with jet lag, but I do have, like, flying over to London, flying over to Italy and stuff. And I think, at least for me, for that amount of time, when you're kind of that 6 hours behind, the best thing to do is just to, like, because you're flying across, you're flying against the sun, right? So the sun's, like, going down, and then you fly toward it, and so it comes up really quick. So you lose those like 6 hours of sleep, and it's like morning all of a sudden. And so, yeah, for me, I feel like the best thing, which has been in the past, is just to stay up, right? To just like
That's bust through
that
day.
Maybe go to bed a little early, 9 o'clock or something like that. You know, and I don't stay up super late, but then just to, because then the next day, then you have the right amount of hours of sleep, and then you're just kind of caught up. Yeah, but
yeah.
I also don't rely on a ton of sleep to like be able to function well. So maybe that's just me. All right, we have three more. Two more. All right, number 19. What is the name of Shakespeare's ghost that haunts Macbeth? Is it
Shakespeare?
Is it A, Banshee, B, Bango, or C, Lucifer?
A Banshee.
Banshee is incorrect. It is Bango.
Bango.
It's like, or Banquo, B-A-N-Q-O? Is that a G? No, yeah, it's a Q. B-A-N-Q-O, Banquo.
Bango.
Bango. Bango.
Shakespeare always making up words.
This is bullshit. All right, number 20, last one. In ancient Egypt, how many demons were present at the judgment of a dead person's soul?
Ooh.
Is it 22, 32, or 42?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
How many demons were present at the judgment of a dead person's soul?
So how many do I have right now?
All right, right now you have 11 right.
Ah, so you still have, failed.
You have, what's that, a 55 or something?
Yeah.
Can so I bring it up to a 60? If you get this one right, it'll be 12, so you'll have a 60.
Ooh.
You'll be passing.
I'll pass.
With a D.
Read it to me one more time.
In ancient Egypt, how many demons were present at the judgment of a dead person's soul? Is it A, 22, B, 32, or C, 42?
I'll say they did everything big in Egypt. The more people, the merrier. 42.
42 is correct.
Yeah.
You squeaked by with a 60%.
Just like in high
12
school.
12 out of 20. This is a 60, right? Yeah, I think so. Yes.
I'll take it.
Nicely done.
Don't ask me. I only got 60s in high school. Don't do good like, math.
You're really good at getting 60s. That's pretty good. There was a lot of them in here that I would have not known either. So
those were tricky.
Yeah, there you go. All right. All right. So, Halloween costumes.
Can you start off? I'm going to run and grab beer. Start off telling your favorite one that you ever had.
All right. Let's see. So, I've had some really cool costumes. The fun thing about costumes and what I've always loved about costume is that you can do anything you want and be kind of crazy with it. Now, the problem with that is that the crazier you get or the more obscure you get, the less people know what you're trying to do. So then everyone's just like guessing at random costumes. So, you know, for example, a couple years ago, we made a costume. I helped my daughter and my wife, and we made a costume for my daughter, and she wanted to be Princess Mononoke. And so if you know Miyazaki films, Disney owns Miyazaki. Miyazaki does awesome anime films like Spirited Away and My Brother Totoro and all these awesome films. Well, he made Princess Mononoke. And so Princess Mononoke is a wolf princess. She's they call her Princess Mononoke. She's the princess of the woods, but she is raised by wolves. She's basically the protector of nature. And so she's got this awesome, like, hood that comes up. It looks like a wolf head. It's got, like, ears on top, all white fur. And then it has a face mask that comes out of her face, which is like red with these like kind of big eyes. And then she's got a dagger and she's got like a headband. And so we made this costume for my daughter. But again, when you make an obscure costume like Princess Mononoke, no one knows what it is. So they're just like, that's cool. What are you? You're a little whatever, you know, they don't know. So that's the dilemma with like loving costumes, but also loving obscure things and wanting to dress up. So we do that with my daughter for Princess Mononoke. We also did it like she wanted to be a student from Ilvermorny one year. And, you know, Ilvermorny is the American wizard school. So it's like the American sister school to Hogwarts in the Harry Potter universe. So everyone was like, oh, you're a witch, you know, like, so it's fun to dress up. But a lot of times if you're doing something kind of even like relatively obscure, not even super obscure, like one year we made a costume for my daughter. She was Arrietty, which is the main character from the book series The Borrowers. Which is not super super obscure, but it's a little obscure. And that one was like kind of hit or miss. People either knew it and were like really excited, because like older people knew it because they remember reading it as kids. But then some people would be like, I don't know. And then you kind of tell them and they'd be like, oh, that's right. And they'd like remember it, you know, or they'd be like, or completely blank. So
I've always been a fan of the obscure ones, because the people you get who recognize it really recognize it and love what you did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. If you're SpongeBob, you're SpongeBob.
Right.
No one's blown away.
Spider-Man.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Oh, what are you? Black Panther. That's cool. Like, yeah. All right.
Right.
Wow, another super. Oh, what are you, a Ninja Turtle? All right, cool, I get it. Nice. But when like you do something really cool, like, I mean, I feel like not cool, but what was my I think my when I was a single man, I think my idea was you either want to look really cool or really funny.
Right, of course.
You're never really trying to show off, but you can be cool. Like, I was like an astronaut 1 year. I look cool. And then, cool. But then you can also go total the opposite way and make yourself look goofy and just go totally goofy and get attention that way. Like,
right, yeah.
Or like, you know, whatever. I was Dewey Cox 1 year.
Yeah.
From Walk Hard. Nice. Like, just goofy with the hair. And like, two people got it the whole night. But those people who got it.
Yeah, they were all about it.
They were loving it. Like, oh, Walk Hard, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I was, I think one of the more fun costumes that I've done in recent history is with my my daughter and wife. I think maybe when Corinne was like 5 or 6, she wanted to be a cat skeleton. So I made her we got paper mache and we made masks. So she had like a cat skull mask. And then my wife was a wolf, so we made a wolf skull mask for her. And then for me, I wanted to be a crow or a bird, so we made a bird mask, all skulls. And then we all got like black clothes and then painted the bones on the clothes. So that was a cool like group costume. One of my
did you say your favorite?
Favorite that I've ever been? I haven't yet because I don't really know.
How about a childhood? Costume. What was your favorite childhood?
I don't know. I mean, I was Robin Hood a bunch of times, I think. I always loved being Robin Hood. Maybe it was like the bow and arrow stuff when I was a kid. I remember Derek, our oldest brother, he was a remote control 1 year. So he's
what
like,
do you love? TV?
I want to be a remote control. And it was like my mom, my parents, they just had like a big cardboard box and then painted it like a remote control with his head sticking out.
Oh my gosh.
Cowboy. Hey. I was a cowboy a lot. I'm going to be a cowboy this year.
Are you?
Yeah, I figured why not go cowboy. So
cowboy.
So I have a big black cowboy hat that dad gave me recently when we were cleaning out stuff. That was that day that like I came walking in with a cowboy hat.
He came back
hat.
Like, howdy. I was like, oh, he gave you a goddamn cowboy hat.
Here we go again. Dad's giving Dustin stuff.
Right?
Like, hey, look what I just got. This big black cowboy hat. So I'm going to wear that. I'm going to wear like I have a black kind of denim shirt and black jeans.
Yeah, be the bad
as a bad guy,
the baddie.
Yeah, the bad guy, all in black. So like I've told a few of my students, they're like, "What are you going to be?" I'm going to be a bad guy. I'm the bad guy in the Westerns, all black.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't do any of the like. I work at a school, so you know I'm doing it dressing up to go to school. I can't do any of the like pistols or Bowie knives.
Can you? Can
like
you have a holster?
I probably could, but I don't have a holster. So, yeah.
Like, well. You got some scrap leather, just pinch it together.
One up real quick.
No put it on your deal. Belt.
So I'll be doing it. I remember that as a kid, you know, doing like mom drawing stubble and stuff on my cheeks to make me look like a cowboy.
Were you a cowboy? I know I was a cowboy for probably 5 different years.
Oh, yeah. We're all cowboys. Boys are cowboys. We lived on a farm. Of course we're all cowboys. We were real cowboys.
Then and Dustin went native and started being
the Indian.
Indians.
Yeah.
You traitor.
I did do quite like a kind of a cool. I did two when I was in grad school. I worked on a boat up in New Hampshire. We did tours and stuff, and so I when we on Halloween we did a Halloween party, like booze cruises and things, and two nights in a row I dressed up as an Indian, but like two different versions, and just had fun doing like crazy war paint and, you know, like feathers and stuff, and it was fun.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. I as a kid my favorite was cowboy. I actually was funny enough, I was reading, I found an old elementary school Martin Boulevard yearbook, and it had Halloween. And it had all the kids like outside front all dressed up. Yeah. And I think I found myself, but I was wearing like this goblin mask. And I vaguely remember that mask. I was like, oh, great. Like, I can't even see myself. I think I was dressed in all black and just with like a mask of like some whatever spooky thing I had found and begged mom and dad to buy, you know?
Man, I remember we had a really awesome skull mask. Do you remember that when we were in high school? We had that one. It fit really tight on your face.
Oh, yeah.
It was like fit over your head and really tight down your face. So it was like super tight against your face. And it was a skull mask. That was super cool. Yeah, that was a good mask. Freaking people out, like in the car, driving around, looking at people out the window.
From like middle school to high school, nothing better than a really great mask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, man, if I had $200, boy, I'd buy me a hell of a mask. They'd be up high, you know, at the stores. You could see them. They'd be sitting up real high. The real good ones,
like Jason and Michael Myers and all like that. Real crazy, like
or like the rubber ones that looked really good. You know,
yeah. Predator. I always wanted the Predator mask.
And then
cool,
you know,
to be Predator,
you could settle for the half plastic mask that you just throw in your face and strap to the back of your head. Velcro, oh man,
elastic. I guess this is gonna have to work. $10.99, perfect. Yeah. And that's one of those things, like I was saying, it's like how much do you do just for one night of the year? You know, it's like, it's tough. Because you want to put, you know, for people who like to make things and like to dress up and have fun with that, it's worth it to put some time and effort into it. But, you know, it's like, all right, well, do we plan a Halloween party as well? So we can wear it two nights a year. Like, how many things can we do?
I used to love doing that stuff, you know, in my 20s, just because you would go to so many parties anyway.
Right.
And you'd go out to the bar one night, and then you'd do a thing, and you'd do a thing with other people. And so I'd be like, I'm going to wear it four times. So I was plenty of cool things. I actually found some of my props in moving.
Nice.
I have the sign from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The docks sign, like East Docks with the spinning arrow.
Yeah, right.
When Newman crashed.
Yeah, he's like,
so I was Newman. I had the yellow. I actually won a costume contest at a bar with that.
Oh, you had like a slicker, like a rain slicker?
Yeah, yellow. I had everything. I had the glasses. Nice. And
that's awesome. I don't think I ever saw that whole costume. I just saw the sign, because you still have it. It's an awesome
sign. Well,
that was
the only thing I kept, you know. It was like a crappy yellow thrift store thing and some khakis. Right. Like, that was basically it, and black frame glasses. Nice. So, actually, I mean, I could be that. Or I could be Jack Torrance. Speaking of The Shining, I have the piece of door that straps to my head, and I put my head through it.
Here's Johnny.
So I have that broken piece of door that I made out of some foam core and just painted it up to look like a door, like a broken door.
That's awesome.
Maybe I'll be that Sunday. Maybe I'll just...
Yeah, now that you have, like, now that you have a kid, now you get to, like, start doing fun stuff for her.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was actually talking to Corinne about her first Halloween. And it technically was her second Halloween because she's born in September. So, like, her first one, she was a flying monkey, and we just put her in a little monkey, like, hoodie and strapped her onto the baby Bjorn, and she had wings attached to her. Which is super cute. But her second Halloween, when she was just over a year old, she could walk. She was just about, you know, like, Maeve's age. She was an octopus. So we had this purple hoodie that she was wearing, and it kind of went down to like maybe mid thigh or so, you know, so it's kind of long. And then on the hood, we had two big eyes, and then Nicole sewed the tentacles around the bottom of the hoodie and kind of stuffed them. So they had some like 3D, you know, some volume to them. And so they hung down around her as she was walking, and like kind of like, you know, not all the way to the ground, but they hung down. So when she was walking, that kind of unsure, you know, just over 1 year old walk, they would all wiggle. Like, it was such a fun costume. It was so cute. We went to, I think, a drive-in over in Winchester, Middletown, Virginia. They had like a trunk or treating at a drive-in, and she's like walking around. Right. Everyone was like so excited about it. It was so cute.
I know.
This is great. So much candy for me.
I know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So do you guys do it, Dave? We just got a ladybug outfit. It's got a little
ladybug.
Yeah, it's like a puffy ladybug thing. It's got the hoodie has like the antenna on it, and
that's so cute.
Little like stripy legs, and it's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty great. I was cracking up watching her walk around.
Puffy,
it's so cute. Yeah,
you should get little Velcro eyebrows to make like angry eyes, you know, like the ladybug and Bug's Life, the guy.
Right.
He's like, what are you talking about? the man ladybug.
That's right.
Just turn her eyebrows, like, you know, point them facing down so she's angry. That'd be great.
But it'll be fun. We're going up to our brother's, going to Drew's, and we're going to hang out there and do a little early trick-or-treat, and then hang out and have a fire out in the front yard. That'll be cool. Awesome. We're also going to take the old radio flyer wagon, and I think we're gonna decorate a little bit.
Right on.
So I'll have like a spooky wagon that they can ride around into.
That's awesome. Yeah. Bring her around. Walk her out. Trick or treat. Oh, that's so cute. Oh my gosh. It's cutest. I love little teeny girls are so cute. Oh my gosh. Can't help it.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll be our friends the Greens have a great neighborhood with an appropriate amount of houses, like maybe 15 or 20 or something like that. Houses, so we'll be there, have a little party afterward on Sunday. Corinne is a punk witch queen.
Oh.
Or no, dragon queen, a punk dragon queen. So she has like these kind of gold pants and then a black leather jacket. She has kind of fingerless gloves that Nicole knit that have aluminum scales on the back of the gloves.
Oh.
So she got these little scales and you knit them into it. So they're like all the whole back of the gloves are scales. She did that same thing and did like one shoulder cuff type thing. That's on one of her shoulders with like the aluminum, they're gold scales. And then she has horns, like black horns, which we painted gold on the ends of them and just kind of highlighted some of the stuff in gold. And then made some black and gold wings. So she's got that. So it's a pretty cool costume. and she looks like she's about 18 when she wears it, which is just crazy. But, you know, because we, like, do the, like, eyeshadow and stuff to, like, get her face, like, you know, fun and kind of extra, you know, geometric, you know, to kind of push out the stuff. And Nicole took some black netting and put it on her, like, cheekbones and then put powder or something. So then you got this, like, scale pattern on her cheekbones, which is really
nice.
Cool. So, yeah, so we went to the Patterson Park Lantern Fest like last weekend, which I was talking about. And so she got to dress up there too. So we got to do the costume contest twice. And she was supposed to originally, they had a plan for like a spirit week this week at her school, at her middle school. And Thursday was going to be Halloween costume day, which was today. And they canceled it because like the principal didn't approve it or something. So there was no Halloween. I don't know what they switched it out. They switched it out for something else, but they were like, they told them they couldn't do Halloween costumes at school.
Why?
Like, dang. I don't know. All Corinne said was that her principal didn't approve of it or didn't approve it or something like that. So I don't know, but I was
that's
like,
lame.
That's messed up. Yeah. I told her, I was like, you should just wear like part of your costume tomorrow. And then if someone says something to you, just like put a fist in the air, be like, damn the man. I was like, Mom and I will back you up. Be like, what is
your you're
a
punk,
outfit?
You don't care.
Yeah, don't try to stifle her. I'm a punk. I'm going to wear a crown. I'm going to wear horns. I don't care.
That's lame. There's a hilarious story on the old Ricky Gervais podcast, which the HBO cartoon show was based off of, Stephen Merchant.
Really yeah.
And Carl Pilkington, but there's a story where Steve Merchant, he's like this real goofy looking tall guy, if you don't know who he is, comedian, but he had like, I think it was like a Halloween thing and just no one dressed up and he came in as like a clown, you know, like full like clown outfit and had to walk in it all day and no one else was dressed up and he was just so embarrassed. So at least that didn't happen.
Yeah, right. That reminds me of that commercial that was floating around recently. It's like the woman like has bad cell service or something, and so she's getting this like a glitchy message from her friend that says like it's going to be a costume contest or whatever. But it like, you know, she missed the point where it was like it's not a costume contest or something. So she shows up in like a medieval maiden like outfit. She's like, anybody want a turkey leg? And she's like at a business meeting with all these people. It's good. It's funny. So yeah, we're doing that. I'll be a cowboy. Last year I was Nathaniel Ratliff because
nice.
I look just like him, or at least somewhat. You know, with a beard, I have a good black hat and a denim jacket. You know, some jade jewelry, turquoise jewelry.
Yeah,
it was fun. I think didn't we do like a happy hour, like a Skype or something or Zoom happy hour?
When we were that's right.
Yeah, around Halloween.
Or no, I think you were dressed up.
I just dressed up for fun. No one else did.
Yeah, you were the only one dressed up.
I think Nicole dressed up too. I was like, hey, let's dress up. I was like, well, I'm dressing up. I don't care what everybody else is. So that was fun. We played. That was a good time. And we should do that more often or just, you know, get together in person with a bunch of people.
Yeah, we can do that. Because
we were playing that, like, that online game where you can guess stuff and draw things. And
Yeah.
That was great.
That was fun.
We made it, like, very, like, lewd and sexual. Always
yeah.
Fun.
Oh yeah.
Can't beat that.
That's right.
It's like Pictionary, but like really like dirty Pictionary.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
That was awesome.
Good times. Well, yeah, I hope everyone has good costumes and stuff. Maybe I'll try to find a picture of my my goblin costume and put it on Instagram or something.
That'd be awesome.
At the Art of Camera Guy, you can check it out. And I think that was me. Like I couldn't find me, but then I was like, I know that mask, and I remember being excited about that mask. I was like, I think that was me. So
yeah, that looks like me. I do remember that in elementary school, the like walking around and doing the parade, the Halloween parade.
Right, right. So yeah.
Fun. That's right. You came that year when Corinne did it. She was Ariadne that year. Mm-hmm. That was fun. That's right. Her friend Catherine was a beekeeper. She had a big beekeeper outfit on, walked by.
That's right. It's great. Yeah, no, yeah, I came down. That was cool. No parking. Jeez.
That's right. Yeah.
barely made it, but I called
it. Elementary school parking. Yeah. You're like, where are they? You're like, oh, she's just coming. You're good. That was fun. Right on. Cool. All right. Well, I have a recommendation for this week. My recommendation is Alex Garland, who has the YouTube channel Outdoors 55. Alex and we have become, you know, kind of good friends on YouTube. We met up with Alex and hung out one time on the whole like make a machete into a sword challenge, which is still a
ongoing show,
up in the air collaboration with Alex. But he just posted two new videos in the last 3 weeks. He's kind of like back trying to get back in and post more often. He's been trying to buy a house and move for a while. So he actually just, I guess, bought the house on the same property as his shop, the one that we went and visited, Dev.
And, oh, he bought that house?
Yeah. So he bought that house and he's been doing a ton of renovation on it. And,
wow, that's a great house.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. So head over to Outdoors 55 on YouTube or Alex Garland. What's his Instagram? Outdoors Alex Garland _ Outdoors 55. Show him some love. Welcome him back to YouTube. He's making some videos, just doing some videos like vlog style on renovating his house. So I reached out and told him I'd be happy to come hang out and give him a hand if he needs something. And he was like, I'd love the hand and I could use the company. So we'll have to go up and hang out with him, visit,
or
and help out.
Or we should have him come up and he'll be our first in-person non-family, well, other than Sean, non-family in-person
right
podcast guest.
On the podcast. Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. Yeah, hang out in the shop. Yeah, he's not too far from us here in northern Baltimore County. He's right over the PA line, so about 20 minutes or so from where we are. And now pretty close to you, Dev, so probably only 10 minutes from you.
Yeah.
So we'll have to go check him out. But yeah, check him out on YouTube, Outdoors 55, or on Instagram, Alex Garland _ Outdoors 55. Welcome him back to the game.
Yeah. Yep. I had a recommendation that I don't think I'll do, but I'll do a general recommendation that it seems obvious to me, but when I think of the obvious things that I love doing, I like to pass them on. So if you are looking for tech or appliances, definitely, obviously, Amazon usually has the best, right, prices on everything.
Right.
But then if you do Amazon used, right, you can go and look through those, which are even better prices. But if you only do in-person stuff, do look up Best Buy Open Box. Because that's where I got a bunch of stuff for the Shed Theater. I got the surround sound, the Samsung surround sound. It was originally $500, then it was on sale for like $350, and then I got an open box for $205.
Dang.
And all it was just opened. It looked like someone had opened it, said, no, I don't want it, and packed it back up. Because everything still had its bags, everything. So it's like a great thing. So if you're looking for that type of stuff, go to Best Buy. Like if you want to pick it up today.
Right.
Get it. Look, open box. And there's so much. And they give it like ratings too, you know.
Right on.
They'll say excellent, satisfactory, blah, blah, blah. But if you can find anything above fair, it usually just means someone took it out and then put it back in the case, like in the box.
Right, yeah.
So that's my simple. So if you're in the U.S., open box, Best Buy, you can get a quick. I mean, that was the GoPro we said the other day.
Yeah, right.
Got almost $100 off just because someone opened it and didn't want it.
So is it when you, like, you go to Best Buy and then they have an open box section? Or
They do have a small open box section, but just look online and then order it, because sometimes they'll say, you'll see open box and you're like, we don't know where it is. If you look online, look up the products, and right under the main price usually says under it a better price, and that's open box. So you click on that, and then it'll tell you, and you pick in your store, and it'll tell you within whatever, 50 miles, depending on how far you want to drive. I drove down to White Marsh, which is about 40 minutes away from where I am.
Right.
Because I knew there was one down there, and I just ordered it, and it said, you know, in an hour you can pick it up, so...
Nice. Right on.
Look, open box, Best Buy for...
Sweet. And then you said stuff. Amazon used, too. I didn't even know there was an Amazon used.
Oh, yeah, Dust. Great stuff. They call it... I think it's called, like, Amazon Warehouse.
All right.
I just got a Wi-Fi extender. I think it's a $70 one. Got it for $23.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man, I got to figure... I got to get in on this stuff.
There you go. All right. That's why we recommend it.
Amazon used and Best Buy open box. Sweet. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to have more guests on in the near future. So if you like that, please make sure you...
We keep saying it, but there really are people.
There are, yeah. And actually, I'll shout out JD Knifeworks. He reached out to me. Let me see. I want to open up the actual thing. He sent me a DM. Really nice. JD Custom Knives, sorry. He sent me a message saying, let's see. He sent me a message that was a screenshot of somebody else that had sent a message to him and was letting him know that they were, like, really thankful for his videos and what he puts on Instagram, because he has inspired them to start knife making, and it's been really cool. And so he sent me a message that said, like, when I started knife making, I just lived on your channel, but I decided I would record and document stuff as I went along so maybe others could learn through my journey. I posted stuff on YouTube, and I got this email, and then he got an email telling him that he has been inspired for someone else. So he said, like, our gift to him has been passed on to someone else. You know, so, like, the same thing, like, you know, finding someone who really inspires you and making something and then inspiring someone else. So that was really cool and just really humbling, knowing, you know, that the things that we do inspire people, and it's passed along to other people. So
you're having maker grandchildren.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy.
You're a maker grandfather.
So, there's another free recommendation, JD Custom Knives, but we're going to have him on the podcast. We've got a bunch of other people. So, and hopefully next week we'll have our cousin Jesse. So we'll have to see that, as long as Loyola doesn't go to the playoffs, right?
That's right. Down. Yeah. Got some, sporting stuff. And they actually they won out, and someone won. And then there was this Halloween thing that I totally forgot about. So I had to bail on them. Sorry about that, Loyola. But I was like, was one of those things that were like, it wasn't, it, it won't happen. And then it,
right.
It did. And I was like, did I say I would work that? Like, I don't think I did. And apparently I had to like look back. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
This is my first, you know, daughter's first like real Halloween. Like you said, last time she was a little baby. I don't even know if we went anywhere, especially with the pandemic. But
right, yeah.
This one, she's actually gonna go trick or treating. She can walk. She can look at people, and it'll be fun.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, happy Halloween, everyone. Hope you're gonna have a good one or had a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Make sure you don't forget to head over to Patreon.com/theArtOfCraftsmanship. Patreon.com/theArtOfCraftsmanship if you want to support us over there. We really do appreciate it and use it, put it all right back into the channel. And make sure you don't forget to follow us on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And go over to YouTube, check out our videos, leave us a comment, let us know you're watching and listening. We really appreciate it. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.